welcome to the Sexiness Girl podcast, the podcast that turns dog training on its tail with a whirlwind of playful learning that achieves real life results. Each episode is packed with inventive games-based training solutions supported by our Games Club, the ultimate dog training membership with a team of pro trainers helping you every step of the way. Think of us like your go-to squad of experts. I'm Lauren Langman. I'm a top-level agility competitor. I'm a best-selling author, owner of the largest dog training facility in the UK, and a founder of the Sexiness Girl Challenge, a challenge that's helped over 130,000 dog owners get real-life results. Our team consists of experts in scent work, obedience, detection, search and rescue, tracking, and the intricacies of why your dog does exactly what they do, and so much more. Our mission, whether you're wrangling a bitey sharky puppy or you're teaching an old dog new tricks, we are here to help you be the very best dog owner that you can be for your dog. So grab your dog, their favourite reward, and a sense of adventure. It's time to transform your training sessions. Ready, set, play. Let's welcome you to the Sexiness Girl podcast powered by the Games Club. Today, we are talking with the wonderful Amanda. Amanda and I are going to be talking senior dogs. And Amanda, I'm going to head to you because you know what? These guys are going to love what you have to tell them. Why did you pick this topic today?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Lauren. I am so thrilled to be here. And this is a topic which is so near and dear to my heart, largely because when I joined Absolute Dogs, I actually joined for my crazy terrier, but I also had my aging Labrador Retriever, Salty. And these dogs are so important to us. Salty was that dog who made me feel like I knew everything. I would have never joined Absolute Dogs having him because he made me feel so smart. And then I got the terrier who taught me otherwise. But anyways, so Salty had done so much with us. He had sailed with us all over the place. We'd RV'd with him. He really was in so many ways my soulmate for a dog because there's so much. And as he aged, it was so hard to watch. And I felt so helpless. He was 13 years and 11 months when we finally had to say goodbye. And we said goodbye on the first day of STL, Super Trainer Live, in 2021. And that was the year where you talked about Brave. And it just took me to heart as I remembered everything I'd gone through with him. And it also reminded me how important it was to share the experience because he became my all-encompassed world as I watched him steadily decline. And I realized that there's so much that I could do. When I joined Absolute Dogs for my terrier, I started playing games with Salty Dog. And Salty Dog was, he was about 9-10 at the time. And you should have seen the light in his eyes when I played games. When I played Reward Anything with him, if you can imagine, he almost got violent. He was having so much fun, like with the bottle, when I was playing Bottle Knock. He'd look at me and he'd whack the bottle. And you could almost see the smile on his face. He was quite, he had arthritis. He had elbow dysplasia. And as I say, he had quite the worn body because we did a lot of hiking together. But just to see the glee in his face, and that took me down a pathway that was so important, which I want to share with you. But you had your experience with Poppy as well. Poppy was very near and dear to your heart.
And Poppy had been... For those of you that don't know, Poppy was always a naughty but nice dog. She was the dog that really took me into being a naughty but nice owner and understanding naughty but nice so much better. The big thing I would say, Amanda, with Poppy is she got better and better as she got older. And that was through the love and learning of playing games. And I think aging, actually, aging really improved Poppy. Like, she was just sweeter and sweeter and kinder and softer. And I think that we understood each other better. And we'd been to university together. I'd decided that I didn't want to be a lawyer. I decided I didn't want to be a teacher, or at least a teacher of children, or at least a teacher in a school system. And I think the children are still fine. I think that you've experienced so much together, haven't you? And you've been through your whole life together. And actually, I watched her soften. I watched her start to enjoy dogs. I watched her lose the fear of noises as she lost her hearing. And that was...
And you know, it's interesting actually to hear that about Poppy, because what often happens with seniors is there's a loss of optimism. They often become quite pessimistic because, let's face it, they're losing function. They can't run the way they did. They have arthritic pain often. They may have gut issues. And they don't think they're not aware that their senses are declining, and it can become quite scary. I mean, some dogs, when they lose the hearing, actually become quite touchy because they're aware of it.
She starts that weird, you know, when the older dog starts to like look at the ceiling and bark, mm-hmm. like sort of cognitive decline, barky sort of behavior that you see at a certain age and stage. She started that when she was about 12, 13. Mm-hmm. And that did get increasingly worse, particularly night times, I would say. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand it, and I didn't really know why she was doing it at the time. And I definitely, I went to the vets and we put her on some like vet meds to try and help. They didn't do a lot. And what I then did was I changed her training and I changed what I was doing with her. And that did help a lot. Yeah. I stopped feeding her in a bowl. I went back to as if she was a puppy, to be honest. I put loads of variety in her day. I stopped walking her and started doing more enrichment. I scatter fed everything. And I remember hearing her brother was put to sleep. And I remember hearing he'd been put to sleep a good year before she was put to sleep. Maybe a bit longer. And one of the things I remember her saying to me was that he could no longer stand over his dinner bowl and he kept collapsing. And I remember thinking, Poppy's never done that. Like, she's never collapsed. But Poppy had also never had a dinner bowl. And so yeah. She didn't need to collapse because she didn't have to stand in one space for a long time and eat in an awkward position.
I'm getting so excited about this because this is so massive. I mean, what you said there for a start about them becoming like puppies again, I mean, it's very true. They are, in terms of their brains, very much reverting. We have to remember that those early experiences that they have as puppies, they come back, right? So sometimes some of the habits come back, but also that sort of curiosity of the world in a funny kind of way. Because what happens with the brain is there's all these networks that have been formed up, but there's less resilience in terms of rebuilding those networks. And so they often sort of come back a bit. But this is the brilliance of the games and why I love Ditch the Bowl so much. Like Ditch the Bowl, we need it more than ever with our senior dogs. Because environmental enrichment, this concept of helping them forage for their food, is massive because it builds optimism. It gives them that control over getting that needed thing, right? The food. They now control how and where they get their food. Just scatter feeding is massive, right? Scent is absolutely massive because it taps into the seeking system, and it's brilliant for helping to move them over. So there's, I mean, again, all these things in the games that also work on our relationship, because again, they're depending on us more. And again, they're aware that they're depending on us more. So we want to make sure that we are that really, really good thing for them, that they look towards us with really positive joy. And games are brilliant for that. And I mean, I love hearing what you're saying about Poppy in terms of her elevating as she aged, because that's what this will do.
Yeah, she changed in so many ways. We trialed sort of lots of different like routines and then realized that actually the biggest thing she needed was variety. We also trialed lots of different ways of feeding, and the thing we realized is she needed Ditch the Bowl. We trialed lots of different ways of exercising, and the biggest thing we realized is variety. And there were certain themes that came back in and again and again. And the other thing that we realized more than ever, she needed some level of stability with us. So we needed to be, she really wanted to be around us more. And so that would be the pessimism that I did see creep in, I suppose. And then we adjusted our lifestyle around her a little bit, or made sure that, say, for example, we were going to compete, that my mum and dad would have her, or she wasn't. So that would be where I'd see the pessimism come in if we weren't careful. And so we just set her up for success by making sure that if we were going to leave, she'd have had a filled bone, or we'd have timed that around a dinner time or a meal time. So we were just a little bit more intentional, I think would be the word, Amanda. So being a little more intentional, an older dog. Things like toilet breaks, like they need way more toilet breaks than they needed before. Again, it's reverting back to having a puppy. So you're doing exactly the same as having a puppy.
And your comment about variety is massive, because flexibility is really, really important at this stage. As I mentioned, their neural networks are they're not as robust. They're actually, they're losing networks, they're losing connections, they're losing neurons. They die over time. It's unfortunate. So they don't have as much up there, which is why flexibility is so important, because they need to be able to have something called neuroplasticity. And that is the ability to adapt for their brain to be flexible. And the concept of use it or lose it is very important in the brain. So the more ways they have for solving a problem, the more flexible they are, the better their brains will be. With people, they often talk about us doing things like crossword puzzles. Dogs don't do crossword puzzles, but by doing ditch the bowl puzzles or playing the games that we play, those are puzzles for them. And it helps to really develop those strong neural networks, those strong pathways, that incredible flexibility that will help them last that much longer. I swear, with Salty Dog, I started doing some fitness. I took him to hydrotherapy, and it was a long trip. It was a 3-hour round trip for me to take him to the place once a week so he could swim. I live on the ocean, but I could. This was a controlled place with a really great hydrotherapist. And Candace, if you're ever listening to this, we forever, forever are grateful for the time. I am sure that we got an extra year out of him because of the games and because of the hydrotherapy and the laser therapy. Pain is a big issue, and so it needs to be addressed so that our dogs can maintain that optimism. It's very real. And so don't be afraid to take on board pain medications, listening to your veterinarian, of course, because it's depressing when you have pain. If you have a dog who has weight problems, which we tackled with Salty because he was a Labrador Retriever. He loved his food. Get that weight off if you can. The fitness games that Kelly talks about, like I loved that podcast with you and Kelly. That was fantastic. And some of the stuff you guys talked about in there were brilliant because you don't have to take them for walks. A lot of senior dogs can't go for walks anymore. And so just doing those little exercises for 5-10 minutes a day are massive because it's the core body. And I'm watching this with my partner, with my husband right now, who's 77. He has cognitive decline and mobility issues. And just simple things like standing on one leg, that's core body work. And we do that with our dogs. We can do that with our dogs. And that will make a big difference.
Well, listening to you here, Amanda, the other thing I find with fitness, and obviously in our games club with our community, once a week we have a fitness class. And so if you're wanting to join our fitness class, that's in our games club. So you just need to head to the website and jump into games club. And Kelly, Maxine, myself, and our team are amazing. They teach the fitness once a week. But the other thing I really liked for the fitness for Poppy and for my late dog Reef as well, what I really enjoyed was the fact that you could do it in the comfort of your own home. So, for example, here at the moment, it's really cold. It's really wet. It's really miserable. Brave, my now senior dog, she's on pain meds. And my dad, he's terminal with cancer. He's on pain meds. Why would you then make them go out in the cold, wet, slippy, thrashing rain? I mean, like anyone who wonders why Devon's green, you just need to come stay here for a while. Like it is wet, wet, wet. And so why would we put them through being out in that weather when you can do a really great fitness work like session? And of course walk them, but don't pick then. Like don't pick then. And some of us don't have a choice as to when we pick. Like my windows are short with my day because my day is pretty rammed. So if in those sort of short sessions where I want to go out, it's not nice, then I'm going to pick something else. I'm going to pick swimming or treadmilling or indoors or fitness session indoors. I'm not going to pick get all of them wet, get all of them soaked, even wrapped up in a coat. Even the ground is lethal. Like it's slippy. I don't want a slip and a hip break or a slip and a knee accident or like they're so quick. And the other thing I think we should tackle and one thing that I noticed with Reef, and I've not talked so much about him aging, but one of the things that he did have twice was he had the whole vestibular episode, which I think is quite common in dogs of his age and type. And vestibular, for so many people, they think that the dog is going to die. And sometimes they do, but typically they don't. And with a vestibular, I think when you see a dog with a vestibular, so they describe it as a stroke, but as I understand it, it's not like a stroke really. And you think it's done. They're looking sick. They're looking painful. They're looking disorientated. They're looking just so sorry for themselves. Sometimes they can't stand up, but it isn't, it is typical for them to get it within those age groups, right, Amanda? Like from sort of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And he had two, but both of them he recovered from really, really well. Typical symptoms would be like an eye flicker and a head tilt and salivating and looking pretty sort of circly and just looking a bit sick, really, like car sick. They look motion sick. And yet within 48 hours, he looked like a different dog. Like he looked like a different dog. So I think that's something just worth addressing in older dogs that you might see. And if you've never heard this before, and then you hear it now, and then in the future you see a dog with a vestibular, you will know it's that rather than go straight into this dog needs to be put to sleep. And I really did. The first time I saw it, I was like, this dog needs to be put to sleep. This is like gone.
So it's interesting, vestibular, because vestibular actually refers to the vestibular network in our inner ears, which is responsible for balance, right? And it's, I won't go into how it all works. It's really kind of cool. But yeah, it would be scary because if you can imagine when your balance goes awry, you become very, very disoriented. And it's also extraordinarily scary. Anyone who has motion sickness, that's actually a disturbance of the vestibular system as well. It's basically hyperactive. But things like this will happen. And one thing to remember is as our dogs age, their nerves, the neurons, they're actually coated by something called myelin. So if you look at an electrical wire and it's got that piece of plastic around it, that insulates that wire against other wires from crosstalk. That's basically what happens with the nervous system is there's this fatty sheath around all the neurons in the nerve. And as that breaks down with age, which it does, you start getting lack of function, basically leakage of signal out of those nerves. And that's why we see hind end problems, because the long nerves from the peripheral nerves from the spinal column, they actually begin to demyelinate. And so the communication is not that good from the spinal cord down to the muscles. And it's a massive problem. But again, fitness exercises can help to support this because use it or lose it, right? We want to make sure that we keep those systems well in place. But with the vestibular disease, there are elements that are similar to that, right? Because let's face it, we use our nerves a lot, right? Whether it be in our brain or any other part of our body, they're going to wear out. And so nutrition is also a massive thing. Antioxidants are a massive thing. There's science behind some of this. And in some cases, there's a lot of practice. My husband, for example, is on something called coenzyme Q10. It's actually what's produced within our bodies. But we know in humans that there's a decrease in production over time as we age. It is a very, very powerful antioxidant that we produce. But as we age and we decrease the amount that we produce, we actually open ourselves up for oxidative damage. So I know that this is wonderful supplement that's out there called Calm K9 Senior Boost, and it does contain coenzyme Q10. And why not give our dogs that extra little help, right? Because we want them to be able to enjoy life with us for as long as possible. And it's all about having fun. And again, the games are all about having fun. So we don't have to watch our dogs decline and be depressed about it. We can actively work with our dogs and continue having the joy that we've experienced with them.
It's about working with the aging process, isn't it? So I've put I've put Brave onto Calm Senior. So Calm K9 Senior Boost. It's AOK9. And I've put her onto this. And anyone that's listening, you know what? I'm going to say Senior 10. And if you want to go in to the AOK9 website and you want to take £10 off any Calm or Calm Senior, we'd love to help senior dogs all over. And for me, that'll give you £10 off any supplement. You know what? I'm going to say any supplement. So we're going to call it Calm 10. Why not? And for me, I really feel that, like you said, Amanda, I feel like my dogs, like Poppy, she was the longest living in her litter. And I believe that that was diet. I believe that she was very slim. I always kept her slim. I believe that the variety was huge. And of course, you can never prove any of these things. Who knows? This is not an experiment. But I believe that she was fed well. She was exercised carefully and intentionally. And I believe that the variety in her day was intentional, and that she was supplemented well. We trialed all of this back then on Poppy and our team, because that's how we did it. And so for me, I really believe we can be intentional about our senior dogs, and we can be involved actively in the aging process. And I wholeheartedly agree with what you say on the pain as well. I want to say that with Brave, I was so anti putting her on pain meds for such a long time. But actually allowing pain to build up is much worse. And the reality, because I'm quite anti using pharmaceuticals where I don't need to, I think that I'd got myself so into the head that I didn't want to use pharmaceutical sort of pain meds that actually I allowed her to be in pain, and that wasn't okay. And the thing is, it builds up. And so pain, once it's built up, then changes movement, and then movement changing builds more pain. And so I got myself into this cycle. And I mean, I'm talking a week or two. It wasn't horrendous, but it was a good lesson for me. And she taught me that, you know what, the pain meds are good to just at least keep a decent baseline. And watching my dad now with cancer, you know what, again, being aware of, and he's sort of end stage terminal cancer, and his pain meds are changing. So he goes from, to, I think it's, is it opioids or opiates to like that, that's where he is now. Like it's like you're on serious sort of pain meds.
It's about quality of life. I mean, with Salty Dog, I also was very reluctant, but I mean, I have a background in behavioral pharmacology. I grew up with a lot of organic chemistry. And, you know, medications were in my world. My mother was what we used to call her the shrub, because she was a wannabe hippie. She came from Yorkshire, came to Canada, moved to Vancouver Island, and decided she wanted to be a hippie. She was awesome. And so she did a lot of herbal remedies and stuff like that, comfrey and stuff like that. But, and you know, there's, when you take a look at pharmaceuticals anyways, most of them actually come from some kind of, was it an ethnobotanical source anyways, and then chemically they modify them and then they can patent them, right? So there's a whole political atmosphere around that. But in the end, when we're talking about aging dogs, we have to remember that they are aging. We have to sadly recognize the fact that it, you know, it is terminal. Aging is terminal. And we have to put aside that concern and remember that it's about quality of life. And so if we can mitigate that pain, it's massive. And again, science is really important, but there isn't necessarily the funding or the resources to be able to actually conduct all the studies that we need. So we need to make decisions as our dog's guardians, which are really, really difficult, but make those decisions based on the information you have from your colleagues and the people around you, because there is a certain amount of trial and error that will be involved in this. And I know that some of the things that I had done with Salty were probably not things that one would normally do, but it worked for him and it worked for us. As I said before, I couldn't walk him because of his mobility issues were quite severe. One really cool thing we did, though, was I take Murphy out. We'd go for a walk with a box and we would collect things. Anything that Murphy found interesting, I'd throw in the box. We'd come home, and Salty, I'd spread it out on the lawn and he could have his little sniffari in the backyard. So there are things we can do. And so do the best that you can. And again, Games Club, I just love for those resources that we can give to them. And we can adapt most of the games to help our senior dogs continue to have a high quality life, like all the way to the end.
Variety, right? Like so much variety for them. And I think that with Poppy, the only thing I can say is she got better and better. She was like a fine wine or a great cheese. Like she just got better and better. And I remember when she was like, I don't know, 4 or 5, and I was competing for Team Great Britain, and she was disliked because she was sharp. Like she was sharp. And some days I even disliked her. And when I think about her in her aging years, she was just so sweet. Like she was really sweet and just like it makes you so emotional, really, because all of those times when maybe you were frustrated or maybe they didn't do what you thought they were going to do, or maybe you felt like you let them down or they let you down, or like, you know, it all dissipates in the aging, right? It all goes and you forgive. I definitely forgave all. And I feel like we just got better and better. And I feel it's a partnership and it's a team. And you think about it, you see those pictures sometimes, don't you, on like Instagram or Facebook or any other sort of social media where you're together as like little E's, and then you're together as slightly older E's, and you've had a journey together. And then I also feel like, God, 15 years isn't enough. Like it's not enough. And Poppy was almost 17. I had her a long time. I had her right out of sort of university, well, in university right the way through. And it's never enough. And I suppose the other thing I would be saying to everybody is, you know what, like, live the moments with them. Some of my favorite memories are her playing along in the lawn with Brave and her puppies. And we were literally playing in the lawn and Poppy was grabbing the balls and running around too. And a week later, she was put to sleep. And whilst this is not a put to sleep episode, and this is a senior dogs and care episode, I think we at some point will do that. I think we do the when is it time. And for me, always know that they've got to be having more good days than bad. And with Brave, I know that her pain has to be managed because she's got a spinal trauma. And I think the pain is a management thing. They need to have more good days than bad. And I think that's important.
You know, I don't know if I can make this request, but I'm going to make this request as we finish this episode. There's that wonderful book, wonderful song by sung by Sam Ryder Moore. And that song really goes straight to my heart because it is that reminder of how much more we want and how important it is to give what we can in the time that we have.
I want to love building it up like a cathedral. I want to see the rest of the world the same way that you do. I want to be the home that you leave and you return to. I want to stay here in your arms as long as I can do.